Good evening. Can you guys hear me okay? Yeah? Good. I don't know it's good. But if you have your Bibles with you tonight, please turn to the book of Romans, book of Romans chapter 2. And our text tonight will be Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Please follow along as I read these verses out loud. Let us hear the word of the Lord. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love towards us by sending your Son to be a propitiation for our sin. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for voluntarily coming to earth and becoming man that you might keep the law perfectly for your people, as well as being that perfect sacrifice and taking upon yourself the punishment that was due us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and creating in us a new heart that trusts in Christ alone for our salvation, and now sanctifying us by the word of God. Come now, our triune God, and bless us as the word is open to your people. Give us grace to not only be hearers, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we take a look at chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, let's gather a little bit of context and be reminded of what Paul has laid out in the verses proceeding in our text. So I want to kind of start at chapter 1, verse 1, and kind of carry us over to chapter 2, verse 12 through 16, where we'll be tonight. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, we see this common Pauline introduction. So we know that Paul is the author of Romans. He lets us know that he is the author describing himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ and giving us his calling, which is to carry the message of the gospel concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the heathen. Then in verses 8 through 15, Paul gives thanks for all of those who are in Rome because of their faith that has been proclaimed throughout the world. He then expresses his love for them by telling them that he prays for them often, and he prays specifically that God might open up the door for him to come to Rome and to be with them at the church in Rome. Then we read in verse 16 and 17, those verses that most of us in this room have memorized. And for good reason, because all of us should say with Paul that we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the message of salvation to all who believe. And that message that is preached is not a message that we do good and God receives our goodness and gives us salvation, but it is a message that calls all men to repentance and faith in Christ alone. And Paul tells us in verse 17 at the end that the righteous shall live by faith. And in verse 18 of chapter 1, all the way through chapter 3, verse 20, Paul reveals two major truths. One, the reality of sin, that there is sin in this world, and he gives examples of that over and over, and also that sin is universal. Paul makes it very clear that all men are sinners, both Jew and Greek. Paul takes over two chapters to make it clear that apart from Christ, men are wicked and vile. Paul tells us in verse 18 of chapter 1 that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And he goes on in detail to exposit what this unrighteousness looks like. Now when we get to chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Paul calls out the hypocrite. He is maybe thinking of the religious people or the Jews at this time by asking this rhetorical question. You who judge another and do the very same thing, do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? And Paul says emphatically, no. In fact, those who do such things are storing up wrath for themselves on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Paul then goes on in verse 6 through 11 to explain that all will be judged according to their works, that those who practice righteousness will receive eternal life, and those who practice unrighteousness will receive wrath and fury. And the statement that Paul makes in verse 6, that all men will be judged according to their works, or some translations say that they will be judged according to their deeds, receives clarity in verses 12 through 16, which we'll spend the rest of our time in tonight. So we have a little bit of an overview of where Paul's coming from. We have that introduction. We have this justification by faith alone in verse 16 and 17. And then we have this huge piece of scripture, two or more chapters talking about the sinfulness of man. And here in verses 12 through 16, I want to look at it in four headings or 4 points. One, both Jews and Gentiles stand under God's just condemnation for their sin. We see that in verse 12. Look with me at the beginning of verse 12. Paul says, "For all those who have sinned without the law also perish without the law." Referring probably to the Gentiles who are not God's covenant people and had not received the law of God. And by using the word law here, Paul is not referring to the ceremonial or the judicial law of old, but he is referring to the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments. And we know this when we go further down to verse 15. Paul talks about the law that is written on the heart of man when he speaks of those who have never heard the law, which is the moral law, that law that we even hear about in Jeremiah 31. And here in verse 12, this is the same law that Paul is talking about. He is saying that those who have never heard the law but sin will perish. Those who have never heard the law and sin will perish. Paul then goes on to address those who have received God's law. Here, Paul mainly has the covenant people of God in mind when he says, "And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law." William Henderson comments on this verse this way. He says, "On the other hand," meaning that other than those who have not heard the law, "on the other hand," he says, "those who are privileged to possess and or hear the law must not think that this fact is such will be any benefit to them before God. On the contrary, disobeying the law, which is being constantly dined into one's ears, will make condemnation so much more severe." So then, what Paul is saying here in verse 12 is that whether a man has heard the law or not, and we see both here, they will both perish because of their sin. Notice Paul says that both of these camps sin, one with the law and the other without the law. One will perish because they have sinned against the law written on their hearts, verse 15, and the second person will perish because they have sinned under the law, which is worse because of their higher accountability that they will be held to. The idea that those who have heard God's word and will be held more accountable is true. You know, the Puritans used to say that the safest and the most dangerous place for an unregenerate man is to be sitting under the preaching of the word of God on the Lord's day. The safest place, because if he hears the word of God, he will be converted, because God converts people under the preaching of the word of God. But dangerous, because there are people who sit under the word of God every Lord's day for years and years and refuse to come to God in repentance and faith. And that condemnation will be much more severe for that man or woman who will not come to Christ in repentance and faith. And it's the same for us today. There might be some of you here who come to church every Lord's Day with your parents. Your parents tag you along to church with you every single Lord's Day, and you sit under the preaching of the Word of God. Or you might come with your husband or your wife or with your girlfriend or with somebody, and you sit under the preaching of the Word of God, but you yet have come to bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And specifically, you children who are here early in age that sit under the preaching of the Word of God, pay attention to the Word of God as it comes forth. Because the message of God and the message of salvation is for all who believe. And if you sit under the means of grace every Lord's day and refuse to repent and believe in the gospel, then you will perish, and you will perish under the law. Secondly, we see in verse 13, it's not enough just to know the content of the law, but one must obey the law of God. We see this in verse 13. Look there with me. "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." Here, Paul probably has the Jewish Christians in mind, but not to exclude the Gentile believers as well. But God's covenant people knew the law of God and had received it. But what Paul is saying is that it is not good, it's not good enough for them to just have God's law, or specifically to hear it preached, but that it is to be obeyed as well. We are to be those who obey the law of God. Paul says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law." Then Paul says something that should grab our attention here at the end of verse 13. Paul says that it is the doers of the law who will be what? Justified. Many of us here have probably said one time or another that the book of Romans is one of our favorite books of the Bible. And the reason that is because Paul is strongly arguing for that great doctrine of justification by faith alone. But here in verse 13, some might get confused by Paul's statement. Is Paul contradicting himself in verse 13 by saying that the doers of the law will be justified? That's what he says. Well, here's when our hermeneutic comes into play. We just learned in Sunday school that we are to interpret Scripture with Scripture. We're to interpret it within its context, but we also learned the idea of the analogy of faith, which means that we always interpret the unclear text with the clear text. At first glance, it seems to be unclear why Paul would say that the doers of the law are those who will be justified, while at the same time, we know that the book of Romans, the whole Bible, teaches that we are justified by faith alone in Christ alone for our salvation. But in this context, we see that Paul is not contradicting himself, because he is not talking about justification by faith, but is talking more of when that justification is granted to us by faith alone, that it is not a faith that is alone. It is impossible for a man to be saved by works of the law. Remember what Paul says in the next chapter in verse 20. He says, "For by works of the law, no man will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." However, it is equally true that those of us who have been saved by faith alone are also those who are to be doers of the law. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 31, "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law." And James tells us in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So if you hear the word of God, but you don't do it, you're deceiving yourself, James says. And later in James 2, he uses Abraham as a case study of this truth by saying in verse 21 and 22, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac on the altar?" You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. James and Paul are not contradicting one another, but they are in perfect harmony with one another. Because we are saved by faith and faith alone, but not a faith that is alone. Clearly stated, those who have been granted salvation by faith alone should be those who love God's law and make it a rule of life. Because for those of us to be hearers only would make us hypocrites and put us in the category of those that Paul is talking about in verses 1 through 5 in Romans 2. But we are those to be who are not hearers of the law, but doers of the law, and that's who we should be. Over and over, this is taught in the Scriptures. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Luke 6. 46. And he says to, in another place, "Those who love me," what? "They keep my commandments." And by the way, even though we are called to keep the law, we cannot keep it perfectly, which really is the standard, isn't it? Did you not know that we are to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect to enter into heaven? And there is only one who kept the law perfectly, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and did what Adam failed to do, which is render full obedience to the law, which is now imputed to us by faith in him. And as evidence of the great salvation that we have, we should be those who obey God's law. Thirdly, we see that even the Gentiles who have never heard or had the law of God, nonetheless have the law written on their hearts. Look at verses 14 and 15. "For when Gentiles do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written in their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them." Here in verse 14, Paul refers to those who do not have the law. These are the same people that he mentioned back in verse 12. But he expounds on this idea further, saying that the Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires. And they are a law unto themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness. And there's so much here in verse 14 and 15 that we can spend weeks on. But because of time, what Paul is showing us here is that even those who are without the law do by nature what the law requires. Not perfectly, but through their actions, they show the evidence of the law written on their hearts. And that's why that you and I can go to a far-off land far, far away who have never heard the gospel, see a group of people who have never seen the gospel, and you will see things and laws in place like against murder and stealing and adultery as well as others. And witness people living moral lives, which is according to God's moral law without even receiving it. What is that? What is it that these people have that they seem to be living as if they've heard the moral law? And it's because they have the law written on their hearts as image bearers. And the law convicts their conscience, which either accuses them of their transgression and tells them that what they have done is wrong, or defends them, and in result, they continue to suppress the truth and unrighteousness and will perish on that day of judgment without the law. So that question of, what about the people who have never heard the gospel, goes right out the window, doesn't it? Because you know what? Those people have the law of God written on their hearts. They have nature. They have general revelation to see that they should be pointed to God. And they will be judged. And they will perish without the law. Which brings us to fourth and our final point. We have seen so far that both Jew and Gentile stand under God's just condemnation for their sin in verse 12. Two, it's not enough to know God's law, but one must obey it, verse 13. And third, that even the Gentiles that do not have the law of God nonetheless have the law written on their hearts, condemning them in verse 14 and 15. And fourthly and lastly is God will one day judge the secrets of men through his Son, Christ Jesus. Here we see Paul once again mentioning the judgment of God. We see it in verse 5 as well when Paul says that those who refuse to repent of their hypocrisy are storing up wrath for themselves on the day of wrath when God's judgment, righteous judgment, will be revealed. In verse 16, Paul refers to the judgment of God being that of judging the secrets of men. The judgment of God being that of judging the secrets of men. Meaning that both men and women, children, that all your thoughts, your words, actions, motivations will become clear and before God are even clear now. You and I may be able to get cleaned up on Sunday morning and clean ourselves out up on the outside and look the part before men. But as 1 Samuel 16:7 says, for the Lord sees, not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs his motives. Our hearts and minds, even as we sit here tonight, brothers and sisters, are open books to God. We cannot fool God. He knows all things, and we will not only be judged by our deeds before men, but even those deeds done in secret that really were never done in secret because they were before the eyes of the Lord this whole time. In Luke 12, Jesus said this while warning the disciples and the Pharisees of hypocrisy. He says in Luke 12, 1-3 this, in the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. And 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his condemnation from God. Oh, the seriousness of the judgment of God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, the writer of Hebrews says. Also, this judgment, Paul says, will be done by or through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the end of verse 16. It says, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. And there are many places that teach that judgment will be executed through Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Matthew 25, 31 through 34, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, and he will sit on his glorious throne, Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. John 5:19-22, we hear these words of Jesus speaking of his authority and cannot be more clear when he says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. All men will be judged through Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, both those who have heard the law of God and those who have never heard the law will be judged by Jesus Christ, and all will be judged according to their deeds done before men and in secret. And this is a huge problem because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And like I said earlier, we must be completely perfect. We must obey God's law perfect if we're going to enter into heaven. And we will stand before God either with our own works, which are filthy rags and will result in condemnation in hell for eternity, or we will stand before God with a foreign righteousness, both the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ keeping the law perfectly for us and the righteousness that was purchased on Calvary by our Lord when he was punished for our lawlessness. The only way that you can have a right standing before Jesus on that day, is if you possess the righteousness of Christ, which comes through faith alone in Christ alone. If you have not received the gift of eternal life, then turn to Christ and live. Repent and believe the gospel. Because you are under the law tonight. You are hearing the preaching of the word of God. And please do not perish under the law, but come to Christ, repent, and believe in him. And for those of us who are trusting in Christ, trust and obey his word. For he is worthy of our obedience and our praise until he comes to bring us home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you and praise you for your law. Your law is a gift to your people, one to show us our sin, one to restrain evil in this world, and three, for your people to obey, to walk in righteousness before all men in this earth, that many might see us walk in the light and glorify our Father in heaven. Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask that you be with us as we pray. We ask that Jesus Christ will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.